Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. This podcast is sponsored by the Epigraph Literary Festival. The Epigraph Literary Festival is a three-day virtual event that introduces readers to authors with new and upcoming books and hosts genre and lifestyle theme sessions. They host a spring-summer festival in April and a fall-winter festival in September. If you missed the festival, you know they have you covered because now you can sign up to watch the replays. There are two options for the replays. You can get an April 23rd replays for $25 and watch all the sessions on demand, or you can get a premium festival bundle for $40, which includes April 23 replays plus replays from April and September 22 festivals. So that's three festivals for the price of $40. With each replay, you can binge watch authors sharing about their books in general through sessions, access to lifestyle sessions such as like a cheese plate and brunch bore, demonstrations, entertaining, journaling, self-care sessions, and more. The Watch Redux podcast listeners get an exclusive 10% discount for their purchase if you use the code WATCHREDUX, and you can sign up for the festival, which is happening the week of April 27th to the 29th, or you can buy the replays by going to epigraphlitfest.com. And now let's get to the show. Hi, Katie. Welcome to Watch Redux podcast.
Hi, very nice to meet you.
So happy to meet you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Katie Shepherd. You know, generally you can call me Shep. I am a debut author. My first book comes out with Berkeley this April. It's Bear With Me Now. Beyond that, I am a longtime fandom person, fangirl, gamer, enthusiastic reader, mom of kids and cats. And I'm so excited to be here today. This is actually my first podcast interview as an author.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. So what fandom do you gravitate to? Like, which one's your original fandom and which ones do you go now, like are feeling right now, you know?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, I am always going to love my Raylos and I'm going to love my BioWare stands. I mean, if you go all the way back, I mean, I had, you know, I had thoughts about how episodes of Sesame Street should have gone, you know. I have been in love with lots and lots of different fictional characters. But if you go on Twitter, you know, you can see me still retweeting the Raylos even in the year 2023.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And so what was your writing journey? Like, what led you to write your first book?
So I tried to write a book a long time ago, and it was sort of the quintessential first book where there were like too many characters and like even the horse had a backstory, you know, and it was really not good. And then I had kids and had to put it down for several years. And so then I was just sort of lurking on Tumblr as one does. Mm-hmm. I did not know about, I mean, here I was this giant nerd, you know, who was really into sort of like fan art and being nerdy, but I didn't really know about fanfic until, you know, The Last Jedi came out. And here is what a nerd I was. Like, I learned about the existence of Archive of Our Own through reading a Collider story. And I was like, what? This is amazing. This is a wonderful idea. And went on to AO3 and discovered, like, oh my God, there are so many people here. And that was just an amazing time in 2018, you know, to be on AO3 and Tumblr, and so much talent was there. There were so many amazing authors who are going to be on our bookshelves. Like, I mean, there are already authors on our bookshelves, but like, this is the year that there are, you know, 10 or 15 people, you know, publishing books who I first became aware of when we were all writing because we thought that Rey and Kylo Ren really needed to kiss. And they did. They did eventually kiss. but people knew long before then.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. I love this journey. So talk to us a bit with me. What is the elevator pitch?
So bear with me now. You know, it wasn't ever fanfic. It was and it was an original story, because I think my editor, I threw out a few different ideas of things that I wanted to write. And she was like, tell me more about the bear. Tell me about this bear story. And it is a story about a charity executive who is saved from a bear attack by this woman who would like to be a park ranger. And even though he does not have a drinking problem, he hires her as his sober companion, just sort of for want of any better ideas of how to keep her in his life after the bear incident. So I think that it does nicely fit into my love of weird things and tropes and things that are silly and fun, but then still explore emotional ideas. You know, that's sort of the best side of fandom, is let's drill down into what is this character really thinking.
Yeah. And so what was different about this, writing this book? Like, was it from the first book, from fandom, to coming here? You know, it's a brand new story, it's a brand new idea. Like, you know, what was the process for you to write it?
Well, I mean, for one thing, it's really kind of lonely, you know.
Yeah.
Right. It's much lonelier writing original fiction than writing fanfic, because fanfic is a community. And some authors have a lot of, you know, willpower and strength. You know, they are brave and they write the entire thing before they start to post. And I just I do not have that kind of personal strength. You know, I was sort of the person who would write something, and then, you know, before I'd even like scan it for typos, I'd be like, here you go, you know, here goes world, you know, and hear from, you know, dozens of your friends who are also sort of checking for updates on a Saturday night. So not doing that, you know, is tough. You know, it, getting all the way through before you show it to somebody else, it takes a lot of courage. It's terrifying. I mean, major, you know, props to anybody who manages to do that, to write an entire book, without getting that sort of dopamine loop of posting for fandom. You know, it's lonely and tough, but, you know, in the end, you know, you get to the end and you're like, oh, I have this, all of this is me, you know, I made this entire baby all by myself.
Yeah.
That's me.
That's really neat. So, and now you have like a published book. You're, you know, by the time this airs, is it will be published? And you're like, I'm a book baby. So awesome. So let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read?
So I read, you know, in terms of published books, I read, you know, a lot of different types of romance, you know, every type of romance, basically. And, you know, I like science fiction and fantasy still.
Yeah.
So if you looked at my Kindle, you'd see, you know, probably 2/3 romance, you know, and that's historical romance, contemporary, paranormal. And then maybe 1/3, you know, I'm still keeping up with fantasy and science fiction, though it is tougher and tougher to keep my interest without a love story sort of baked into the plot in the science fiction and fantasy. So I like those particularly. But even when it comes to romance, what I really love is, I mean, I love historical romance. I mean, I wrote a contemporary romance because, gosh, those historical fiction like authors, they have to have like history PhDs. I mean, they have to do so much research and work to, you know, create this act, and their readers are very stern with the authors, you know, that you have to get it right. You have to get your corsets right. You need to get your vocabulary right. You know, you need what they're serving at Albeck's right. But I love historical romance because just the stakes are high. You know, this is somebody's entire life, you know, whether it is going to be a good life or a bad life, it can turn on, you know, do they fall in love with the right person? Do they end up with the right person? Do you, do they marry the right person? And that's, you know, I love thinking that, you know, this love, this relationship is going to change their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
In terms of historical romance specifically,
yeah, it can be any books, you know.
Well, what I thought I would recommend to listeners, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, what was I going to say, let's talk about vampire books. I love vampire books. I love vampires in science fiction, fantasy. I love vampire romances. Yeah. So, you know, here is my, you know, greatest of all time vampire books. My very favorite book that I've ever read, you know, the book that I read when I'm sick in bed and it's been a terrible day and I need something good, is Sunshine by Robin McKinley, which I don't know if you've read it, but, and it's, you know, it's, I think it's 20 years old now, but Robin McKinley is usually a YA author. She's best known for her YA. This is an adult book. I think it's sometimes shelved with YA, but the protagonist, she's in her 20s and there are adult moments in the book. You know, there is this, you know, sort of understated romance with the tall, dark, brooding, tortured, mysterious vampire hero, Constantine. But the book is, it is weird. It is fun. It is, you know, it is a lived in world where there are these vampires and vampire politics. And I cannot read it enough times. I have to save it for when I'm sick. Then in terms of vampire books that I love, there is the Night Huntress series by Jeanine Frost, which she is still writing books in the series. I think right now she's about to release sort of the second half of the hero's point of view of the first book in the series, Halfway to the Grave. But again, it is vampires where it is weird and fun and there are funky things about being a vampire. You know, it is not all like pretty dark, you know, gothic prints, like they have issues. and it feels like a lived in world. And so I love all of her vampire books. She has several different vampire heroes. The very first one is sort of a Spike character where he's cockney and blonde and, you know, he swears a lot. And I really like him as a hero. He's Bones is his name. Then the last vampire book that I was going to mention is my friend Jenna's book, which comes out this fall with Berkeley. It's called My Roommate is a Vampire. She told me not to give you too many spoilers. You know, I should not reveal that the protagonist's roommate is in fact a vampire. but her book is hilarious. You know, it is a paranormal romance, but it is fun and funny. And, you know, I am not on TikTok, but, you know, I anticipate that when, you know, the TikTok kids get to this book, there are going to be like, you know, people tossing kumquats in the air, you know, doing My Roommate is a Vampire challenge. I mean, it is just going to be delightful when everybody else gets a chance to read it. Because it explores, you know, sort of the inherent, you know, absurdity, and you're going to fall in love with this person who is 300 years old and they need to track down like human blood just to have dinner, you know, and you know, and not taking itself too seriously.
Yeah, I am excited for that one, just for its proximity, you know, and the elements of just being a vampire. What does it look like? What do you have to do? So,
and again, it is so, you know, one of my favorite writers is a video game writer at BioWare, Patrick Weeks, and what they say their guiding principle when they're writing is absurd premise executed faithfully. You know, like,
yeah,
you believe something weird and then make your audience believe that weird thing right along you, you know, side you. You know, you don't wink and nod and weasel away with it. Like, no, the roommate is a vampire. He does drink blood and, you know, he's going to have some issues getting a credit card because he's 300 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So I love this. So Katie, tell us where you can find out online.
So I am on Twitter at YTC Shepherd, which comes from yours truly, Commander Shepherd, which was me back in the fandom days. That is still is Twitter, but is very much a fandom account. On Instagram, I try to project myself as a much more serious person. I am a real author at Katie Shepherd Books. And then I have a website, katieshepherd.com.
Thank you, Katie, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was very exciting. I feel like I talked really fast. I hope anybody can understand what I was saying.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.